Oh, may the love of thy precious word, may I explore the mind. May I its fragrant flowers glean, may light upon me shine. Oh, may I find my armor there, thy word, my trusty sword. I'll learn to fight with every foe the battle of the Lord. Well, this morning I'd like for us to return to our study of God's precious word and head back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I appreciate Brother Art leading our services last Sunday, both morning and evening. We're going to be heading back to 2 Corinthians 6 as we work our way through this wonderful book. And if you remember, a couple weeks ago, where we sort of finished off when I was here for our vacation, the Apostle Paul had been explaining and defending his role as an apostle and as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you remember, keeping your finger there in chapter 6, but in the previous chapter, in chapter 5, verse 20, he described himself as an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador for Christ. And his message there, also in verse 20, was be reconciled to God. And of course, this not only applies to Paul, but other ministers of the gospel. It applies to Christians as well. We are all, in a sense, ambassadors for Christ. And that ought to be our message to this world. Be reconciled to the Lord. Be reconciled to Christ. And then if you jump down to chapter 6, verse 1, he then describes himself as a worker together and even a partner with God. What a privilege that is, to be a worker together with God. And his message, also in that verse, was to believers, receive not the grace of God in vain. And we spent some time looking at what that means and how we as believers who have received the grace of God ought to use the grace of God in our walk and our relationship with Him. And then, in verse 4 of this same chapter, he described himself not just as an ambassador for Christ or a worker together, a partner with God, but now as a minister of God, a servant. And he backs up his message with a lifestyle of approving himself as the minister of God, no matter what. And then in the rest of these verses, he lists off the kind of life that he would often live and go through. And he says, I am striving and seeking to live my life, no matter what I face, as a living advertisement of the grace of God. A living advertisement. And this is where we left off last time. And that is the question I want to start with. Is this how you're seeking to live your life as a Christian? As a living advertisement for Jesus Christ? Well, as we come to these next three verses, which will be our text this morning, verses 11 through 13, Paul takes a little bit of a breather. I mean, he kind of needs to after listing all those 28 different sayings and phrases that describe his life as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he takes this breather to share the reason why he labored so diligently and so devotedly for the Lord and for them. And as we read through these verses, we're going to see that it was a matter really of his heart. His heart was in his ministry. His heart was for the Lord and for his people. And so we read in verse 11, O ye Corinthians! O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now, for a recompense in the same, referring to his heart, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. The first thing that we see in these verses, in verse 11, is a revelation of love. A revelation of love. And if we keep that concept as we go throughout these verses, we're going to understand the kind of heart that Christians ought to have for each other and for the Lord himself. And so we see, beginning in verse 11, a revelation of love. A revelation of Paul's love, especially to his beloved church there in the city of Corinth of Greece. Again, he writes in verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you. And I love this phrase, our heart is enlarged. Our heart is enlarged. This is one of the most expressive verses in all of the New Testament that reveals a pastor's love for his people and for his church. One thing that we know about the Apostle Paul is that he loved the church of God. And he loved, in a very special way, the Corinthian church. And we see in the very first part of that verse the great empathy that he had for them as he calls them out personally and directly, O ye Corinthians! O ye Corinthians! You see, ever since the Apostle Paul met them on his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 18, his heart was moved for them. His heart was moved for them. You don't need to turn there, but Acts 18 describes that journey and that stay that lasted over a year and a half there in the city of Corinth. He was there when the church began, when in verse 8 of Acts 18 it says that many of the Corinthians hearing, what did they hear? They heard the gospel. They heard the word of God, and after hearing, they believed and were baptized, and that is when this church started. Now, there was still some conflict. There were still some problems. And that was when the Lord himself came to Paul at night and said, Paul, I have much people in this city. And so his heart was moved at just the possibility that there is going to be a great working of God in this city. And so he was there when the church began. He was there as the church grew. In Acts 18:11, it says that he continued there for a year and 6 months, a year and a half, teaching the word of God among them. And so for that time period, he got to know this church. And his heart was moved for the people in this place. He knew who they were. He knew where they lived. He knew what kinds of challenges and trials and temptations they would face. He even knew the opportunities that existed there in the city of Corinth. And his personal empathy and his personal love was behind every prayer for them. And his personal empathy and love was behind every word to them. And that's why he reveals in the next part of verse 11 the great expression of his love. He says, our mouth is open unto you. This meant that from the very beginning, from Acts chapter 18, verse 8, the best way for Paul to show and express his love to those people was to share God's word with them. To share God's word with them. That was the best way. The word of God's grace and God's love. And so because he loved them, he could not shut his mouth. And that's not only reason why we have the evidence of what he said in Acts 18, but also we have a 1 Corinthians and a 2 Corinthians. There are some that believe there might have been a 3rd and a 4th Corinthians as well. But whatever the amount of writing that was there, he wanted to keep telling them about God and his love and his grace to them. In fact, this is one of the key ways for a pastor to truly show his love for his church. It is speaking the truth in love. There are many people in many churches today who will say that they love the people of God or the church of God, but they will not tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's not love. That's not love. Ephesians 4:15 says that we are to speak the truth in love and to share the word of God freely and faithfully, fully, and even fervently, because that is exactly how Paul shared God's word with the Corinthians. He shared it freely and with great courage, even when there was a tumult, a riot against him. And the people said, you need to leave. Paul still was courageous to share the word of God. He did so faithfully and fully. In Acts 20:17, the phrase could also be applied wherever he went. He says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's real love. That's real love for a minister of the gospel to share the whole counsel of God. And he did so fervently. Think about what the words of Jeremiah the prophet were and apply that to Paul. He says, his word, God's word, was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, I had to open my mouth. Why? Because the word of God was such a burden to him, and that is what Paul did. He loved them, and he gave them exactly what they needed in the word of God. Paul shared the word of God with them, and he showed his love for them. But then he reveals in the last part of this verse the great expansion of his love. He says, our heart is enlarged. Now, I'm sure he's not just speaking for himself, but also for other ministers that might have been there, some other apostles that might have passed through. Of course, Apollos was someone that was well known to the Corinthians. Our heart, he says, is enlarged. Now, Paul was not describing a medical condition. We would think if someone has an enlarged heart, that's a problem. But he's not talking about a medical condition, but rather a healthy spiritual condition, an enlarged heart. It was a condition of deep and abiding love and affection for them. My, how Paul loved the Corinthian church. But that is a surprise to us as we read through these letters, especially the letter of 1 Corinthians, because if you think of how the Corinthian church treated the Apostle Paul, you're amazed that Paul would still love them the way he did. In fact, he pointed this out explicitly later on in this book. You don't need to turn there. It's on your message guide. 2 Corinthians 12:15, Paul said this, "Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." The more I abundantly love you, the less I be loved. Have you ever experienced that? I think if you are a human being, you've experienced this in your life at some point. The more that you have loved someone, the less they return that love to you. And that can hurt. That can hurt. In fact, many times the reason you are hurt so deeply by someone is because you love them so deeply. The greatest hurts and the greatest sores that happen to us are not from those who hate us, but from those that we deeply love and say, perhaps, they love us. You love them deeply, as Paul did from your heart. That's what happened to him. But this also shows us the kind of love that Paul had for the Corinthian church. It was real love. It was a real commitment to them and their needs. It was a pure love, a personal love, a passionate love. It was the kind of Christian love that Peter describes back in 1 Peter 1:22 when he says that we are to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Paul strove to love that church the way Christ loved that church. Paul strove to love those people the way Christ loved him. And that's what real love is all about. And his enlarged heart of love was the basis of everything he said to them back in Acts 18 and in every single stroke of his pen in 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians. It was the basis of everything he did for them. Verse 11 is an amazing display of love between a pastor and his people, between the apostle and this church, even when you would think that there might be a little strain on that relationship. But you would think that with this kind of heart and with this kind of love and affection, the people that he loved would respond in kind. You'd think that with such an outpouring of affection that they would love him back. But of course, it was not the case. Because in verse 12, the very next verse, Paul had to deal with a rejection of love. A rejection of his love by that church. And that's why he says to them, "Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels." Now, at first glance, that can be a difficult verse to understand, whether it's in the King James or any other translation. But what we find in this verse is a concern for a condition that they had. A concern for a condition that they had. Paul is like a doctor disclosing to his patients the diagnosis of their condition. Now, of course, there are some doctors that don't really have many bedside manners. And when they tell someone the diagnosis, it's pretty straight to the point, and it's abrupt, and it can hurt. But here, Paul is doing so out of a heart of compassion, the kind of compassion that the great physician had for his people and for his church. And so he tells them what their spiritual condition is. What was it? The last part of verse 12, he says, "Ye are straitened in your bowels." You are restricted in your bowels. The word straitened here can also be translated compressed or restricted. Now, if this were a medical condition, if your bowels were truly compressed, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? I'd have to see a doctor about that. But since this describes a spiritual condition, it's even worse. It's even worse. It meant that their own heart and their own affections, their own feelings for Paul and for other Christians and other people in the church. That's what Paul means when he says their bowels. Their own heart was being squeezed and compressed so that there was nothing else that could get in. It was closed to him. Last year, many of you know that we had the opportunity to go to the Big Island of Hawaii for our vacation, our family vacation. We actually stayed in the Puna region of the Big Island, which is where everything is happening. We were just a few miles, 2 or 3 miles away from where those fissures are opening up and destroying houses by this hot red lava. In fact, as the most recent report showed, that 90 homes have been destroyed by this lava flow from the Kilauea volcano. The lava is flowing over some of the major roads that we drove on, both in and out of that region. And what it's doing is it's closing off and choking out where people are living and how people can get in and out. Eventually, it's going to keep everything else but lava, that dense, dark, black lava. That is what was happening in the Corinthian church. There were things coming in and crowding out Paul's own love for them, and there was this deep, dense, thick lava in their heart that nothing could penetrate. One of the pictures that was just astounding to me as we've been watching what's going on in Hawaii, I showed my wife and kids, was this road that we drove on, and now the lava flow is 2 stories high. You can't get in. You can't get out. And that's what was taking place in their hearts, even as a church, even as Christians. That's what was happening in their relationship with Paul, in their relationship with each other, and even in their relationship with the Lord. And this is something that we all know too well sometimes in our lives. Their own heart and their own affection and their own love for Paul was closing and being compressed and being choked out, even though his heart and his affection and his love for them was enlarging. Do you see the contrast here? He says in verse 11, my heart is enlarged to you, but your heart is straitened and compressed and restricting that love. So even though there was plenty of room in his heart for them, there was no room in their hearts for him. And that was a problem. That was a bigger problem than a physical problem of having your bowels constrained and restricted. And so Paul continues to describe the cause of their condition. Because if you have a diagnosis, you want to know the cause. You want to know how I can be treated. And so, again, in verse 12, he says, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. You see, their condition, Paul says, was not caused by him or any other external influence. It was something in their own heart. It was something internal. It was a problem within. Now, he doesn't identify exactly what the cause of this constriction of their hearts toward him was, but from our own experience, we probably can identify some causes, like the cause of sin. Sin will always interfere in your relationship with someone who genuinely loves you and someone who genuinely wants to share the Word of God with you. Sin is one of those lava flows that will choke out the love that anyone else has for you. We know this in our own lives. We know this in our own relationship. Maybe we've sinned against someone and that relationship was broken. Or maybe someone sinned against us and that relationship was broken. Sin chokes out love. What about the sin of selfishness, or the cause of selfishness? Selfishness also will crowd out any room that you may have in your heart for someone who genuinely loves you. Selfishness. Not thinking of others, but thinking of self. Not thinking of the Lord, but thinking of self. Selfishness, again, will constrict your heart so that even if someone does love you, you will be suspicious of that love and suspicious of that desire for you. And that leads us to the cause of suspicion. Suspicion and jealousy will cause you to question and doubt the love that someone really has for you. And I think that's part of what was going on here in this book. Because there were false leaders and false teachers that had infiltrated there in the Corinthian church when Paul left, and they were questioning, bringing questions to bear about Paul. And he said, he's not who he says he is. You can't trust what he says. He doesn't really love you. After all, he's been separated from you. And even when there was an issue, he didn't come like you said. He's been lying to you. And they're sowing seeds of discord and sowing seeds of question and doubt in their minds. And so they now are suspicious of Paul, and their hearts are being constricted and straightened and closed. Now, even though Paul does not explain the cause directly, it was something that was closing their hearts to someone who genuinely loved them and wanted God's best for them. Here was the problem. They were not moved by his love for them. Their hearts were not moved by Paul's heart. Now, that is something that we often experience in our lives, where we pour out our hearts to someone in love, and yet we don't receive that love in return. Now, we don't do it for that response, but it's hard and it hurts. Because as you love someone, you desire that love to be reciprocal. You desire that love to be returned. You desire that relationship to be restored. You want them to be moved by your love for them. And of course, that reflects the love of Christ for us too, doesn't it? Are we moved by his love for us? This condition of a constrained heart and constrained bowels, as it says there in verse 12, is a very sad condition for someone to be in. Because this condition will squeeze out any joy, any peace, any harmony, any contentment that would be in your heart as a Christian. Christians sometimes are miserable because they've closed their heart to the love of God's people, to the love of God's leaders, and to the love of God himself. And so that is why in the very next verse, verse 13, Paul makes another appeal to them. If you remember, chapter 5, his appeal was, be reconciled to God. In chapter 6, his appeal was, receive not the grace of God in vain. And now he says, verse 13, be ye also enlarged. He uses the same word for his own heart in verse 11. He says, be enlarged. He says, now for a recompense in the same, to return the same kind of love, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. This is Paul's appeal to them, and it was an appeal for a return of his love. A return of his love, a recompense. As John Gill explains this word, his desire was let love be returned for love. Isn't that how relationships start? Isn't that how relationships are built? Let love be returned for love. This is all Paul wanted from them. This is all Paul desired from them. Remember, the Apostle Paul didn't even want their money for himself. In fact, he would work, labor, long hours, making tents and making leather work with his own hands. So it wasn't about money, it wasn't about support, it was about their love. Let love be returned for love. He was offering them an opportunity for full reconciliation and full restoration in the relationship with Paul and even with the Lord. And isn't that what genuine love always pursues? Reconciliation. Restoration. There was still an opportunity for the forgiveness and the friendship and the fellowship that reconciliation can bring. Let love be returned for love. That was his plea. This was also an appeal for a reflection of his love. A reflection of his love. That's why he says, be ye also enlarged. He's basically saying, instead of having a closed heart, have an open heart. Instead of having a shrinking heart, have an expanding heart. Let his love move your heart to love him in return. Let your own heart, he says, become hardened and calloused and constricted any longer, especially as they remember the reason for his love. The middle phrase there in verse 13, he says, I speak as unto my children. I speak as unto my children. Paul was not just a minister and a pastor of these people. He was a father to them. He was speaking and writing to them as a father would to his own children. This morning, in the video that dealt with Proverbs, the very first section of the book of Proverbs, if you recall, was about a father telling his son about living according to wisdom and the wisdom of God and the wisdom of his word. And so here Paul is saying, as a father to his children, this is the way that you should walk as a child of God. And so he reminded them of the special bond and the special relationship that he had. In fact, you can read more about that relationship in 1 Corinthians 4. Keep your finger here and go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, where again he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, my beloved children, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, Paul says, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. He was pointing back to the time in Acts chapter 18 where he was with them for a year and a half. And many people who had heard the gospel through his mouth were saved. In a very real sense, God had given him the privilege to be their spiritual father. And now we come back to here, 2 Corinthians 6, and he says, I'm speaking to you as my children. I'm speaking to you as the children of God. Even though they may have forgotten him and his love, he would never forget them. Even though they may have forsaken him and his love, he would not forsake them. The door of his heart was always open to them. He had the heart of a father toward these people. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gave the example of the prodigal son, or rather, of the faithful father. And the faithful father always had the door of his home wide open to that prodigal son. And that's what Paul is saying. Though you have strayed from me, though you have gone far away from me, though I have been crowded out of your heart, yet the door of my heart and the door of my home is always open to you. So come and return. What an example of the kind of heart and love that there ought to be within the family of God. An open, enlarged heart toward each other, especially within our church. Hearts that are open instead of closed. Hearts that are expanding and enlarging toward each other instead of shrinking. I was reading a commentary on this passage, and I wish I would have had the quote, but the idea was that when you have a heart of selfishness, there's no room for anybody else but yourself. There's no room for real love. But when you have a heart of love, it expands, doesn't it? In fact, if you've been married to someone any length of time, you think that you can love that person no more, and yet you do. Why? Because love is expansive. And the more you love someone, the greater that love can grow. And the more people that you love, the more people are welcomed through the door of your love. As your heart expands, as your heart enlarges, hearts are expanding and enlarging instead of shrinking. Is that the kind of heart that you have today? If not, is that the kind of desire that you have? Is there that kind of pursuit in your own life? As Jesus said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Think of the heart of Christ and how enlarged it was. It couldn't get any larger because it's infinitely large. And he poured out his grace and his love towards you. And he says, now I want you to love each other as I have loved you. And don't we see that there's even more to Paul's heart of love in these verses than meets the eye? Because remember, Paul is speaking as the ambassador of Christ from verse 20 of chapter 5. Paul is speaking as the partner of God. He is speaking as the servant and minister of the Lord. Paul is serving as the representative of Jesus Christ to his church in these verses. And so Paul's heart and love for the Corinthian church is a reflection of the heart and love that Jesus Christ has for you. And so as you read about Paul's love for this church, I want you to meditate on these verses and think about Christ's love for you and how his heart has been enlarged. Think about first the revelation of Christ's love towards you. If Paul's heart was this big for those people, imagine Christ's love for his people. Just how enlarged his heart towards you is. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Ephesians 3:19 tells us that the love of Christ is unsearchable. It says that it passes knowledge. Romans 8:35 says that His love is inseparable. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Think about all the ways that Christ has revealed His love for you. He has spoken to you through His Word. He has shared Himself through His only begotten Son. He has sacrificed Himself for you. Romans 5:8, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If Paul loved God's people this much, think how much God loves His people. His love is great and gracious, good and gentle, giving and generous to you as His child. As Frederick Lehman once wrote, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. That's the kind of love that Christ had for Paul, and Paul reflected toward them. And yet, how many times could Jesus say the words that Paul said to them in 2 Corinthians 12:15? Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Think of those words from Jesus Himself to you today. The more abundantly I love you and have enlarged my heart to you, the less I be loved. So the next thing that we need to meditate on and think about is your response to Christ's love. This is the question I want to leave you with today. Is your heart open, truly open to the love of Christ? Is your heart open? Or is it straitened or constrained? Like the heart of the Corinthian church, is there a lava flow of sin and selfishness or even insecurity and suspicion of God and His work in your life? Closing in on itself more and more. You know what you're doing? It's as if you're closing all the blinds to the windows of your heart as the sun rays of Christ's love for you are pouring in. When we got home from our vacation, we decided to just drive through, and we were able to manage a 16-hour drive in about 21 hours. But we got home Saturday morning about 5:30, and we knew that the sun was going to be coming up very soon because we could see just a little bit of the light, just a little bit of the dawn. And so we put blankets over our windows and closed up the blinds so that we wouldn't see the light. Now imagine if you did that to all of your windows and with all of your blinds. People would think there's something wrong with you. Don't you want to see the light? And yet, how many times do we close ourselves off to the infinite, caring, gracious love of Christ to us? And we see it reflected in the life of the Apostle Paul to his people. And if it's that large in Paul's heart, think how much larger it is in Christ's heart and Christ's love. What could be the cause of this? Why are you closing off those blinds? What sin is there? What selfishness? What suspicion or doubt is there? So Jesus once again calls out to us through the words of Paul, verse 13. Again, think of these not just the words of Paul to you, but the words of Christ Himself. I speak unto you as my children. I speak unto you as my own. I speak unto you as my people. I love you. My heart is enlarged for you. Be ye also enlarged, He says. Won't you let the heart of Jesus take over your own heart? Won't you let the love of Christ move you to an even greater, ever-expanding love toward Him and His people? You may think that you have the greatest love for Christ that you've ever had, but you know what? There's more to it. Your love can expand and enlarge. You can have a greater love than you ever have had, and it will continue to grow. Open your heart. Open your heart, the Lord is saying. Open your heart to me because the door of my heart is always open and enlarged for you. As I was preparing this message, my thought went back to the book of Revelation, where to the church of the Laodiceans, Jesus Himself says these words, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, a lot of times we use this verse to evangelize people, to tell people about the Lord and say, let the love, the heart of Christ move your own heart to come to Him for salvation. And certainly you can apply that. But this verse is actually applied to the church, to the Laodicean church. And the question is, why was Jesus outside the door of the church? He says, Behold, I stand at your door and knock. And if any man shall hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's what Paul is saying here. Open your heart to him. And as you do so, open your heart to the Lord. Because the door of his heart is always open and enlarged for you. Is your heart open to the Lord today? What is there constricting? What is there compressing? What is there restricting the grace and the love of God in your life today? Open your heart wide. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the love of Christ. The love of Christ that constrained Paul to share his love with this Corinthian church. But it's also, Lord, the love that ought to constrain us and compel us to keep our hearts wide open to you and your great love. And yet, there are many times, Lord, in our life that we close ourselves off to that love. It's there. It's there like the bright, shining sun all around the building today. And yet, it seems like the more it pours into our heart, we start closing the blinds. And so, Lord, we needed this word today to shine the light. It's hard to see if a door is closed when it's dark. But Lord, as your word and through your spirit, you're penetrating that darkness and showing us that we've shut those blinds. We've bolted those doors. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to let your love and let the enlargement of your heart move us to open our hearts to you. I pray, Lord, that there will not be this condition of a closed heart in our lives any longer, but that, Father, no matter what we do, where we go, we will be enveloped by your heart of love. And then, Father, I pray that we too might enlarge our hearts toward your people and toward others. Because love is contagious that way. And so, Father, I pray that as we have experienced your love, that, Father, we can share it with others, even as Paul did to that church. Not so that they will have a great love and a respect for us, but rather that they will have their hearts opened by your great love to them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.